There are two new seasons. Is this a real thing? Isn't this a real thing? We've got to get to one guy, and that's Weatherman Pete, Dr. Peter Johnston, who is a climate scientist at UCT. Good afternoon, and how are you?
Good afternoon. I'm very well, thanks. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine. If you can maybe just come a little bit closer to the microphone. Dr. Johnston, I was speaking to a relative in Cape Town, and he was saying that yesterday was 27 degrees, everybody walking around in, you know, shorts and slip-slops, T-shirts, and today it's freezing. Is that normal for this time of the year?
Yeah, no, it's the end of the world, Kathy. I think this is it. We can't possibly have 2 days like that in succession. It's clearly something crazy is going on. Now, of course, I'm kidding. If this is purely,
I don't know.
it's quite normal for winter. What happens yesterday is that there's a low pressure cell, a cold front approaching from the west, full of cold air and full of moisture and full of rain. But preceding that, there's a high pressure on the interior of the continent, and that high pressure cell has air rotating, it's descending stable air, which is why the high fog is so cold and so clear at this time of the year. And that air now circulates anti-clockwise around the center of the cell, and that blows wind, if you like, down the plateau off the high veld. And as that air sinks, it warms up at 1 degree every 100 meters that it sinks. So it comes down that mountain and is very, very warm. So when we have what we call a berg wind, we expect warm temperatures, and that usually precedes a front, not every time, but very often that happens. So yesterday it was a prefrontal berg wind. The strange thing was that it was 27 degrees, 28 degrees. So it's not normally that hot, but it certainly was very, very warm yesterday. And then, of course, the front arrived in the late afternoon or late evening yesterday, and now it is chilly, cold, and wet, which is just as well because it's our winter, and that's when we need the rainfall, and this is the only way we can get that rainfall.
You know, when you said that this is the end of the world, this is completely, it means the end of the world, I was ready to go with that. The only thing that we have left are for aliens to arrive. You know, and then...
Yeah, they're among us. They definitely are among us, with orange hair.
That explains so much. So much. Okay, Weatherman Pete, two new seasons.
Yes.
What's your thought?
Look, Kathy, I've read the article, and it's a bit of a... It's a media hype, really. Experts have warned that these seasons are now part of the annual climate rhythm, but they're completely... anthropogenic. They're caused by humans.
Yes.
So it's not like the world has changed, or the world is, you know, the cycles of the world and the cycles of our weather, and summer's not becoming winter and winter's not becoming spring. Those things will still always be with us, albeit at different levels and different temperatures. But what we're seeing now is that we are getting predictable phenomena, and they're not both climate phenomena. The one is definitely related to the fires in Southeast Asia. So you're getting a lot of smoke. And also in America, where there's fires from Canada, forest fires. Now, these fires can be caused by humans, and very often are caused by humans, but they're also caused by increased global temperatures. So a fire needs the three things. It needs load, it needs ignition, and it needs a temperature to keep it going. And because the temperatures are higher, we find that the conditions are more often suitable for these massive forest fires or felt fires. And that's what's happening from a natural point of view. But from a human point of view, we are seeing an assault on the natural resources. And one of these involves burning down forests and burning down vegetation for agriculture. And that is leading also to a hang of a lot of dirt in the atmosphere and leading to this haze, which is actually becoming very, very dangerous to human health. And climatologists and countries, rulers and governments are seeing that this is becoming more and more predictable. They know at certain times of the year, just as we know at certain times of the year in Joburg and in Cape Town, on a clear night, there's going to be pollution in the morning. We're going to get that inversion. We're going to see a haze over the cities because that pollution is trapped by the cool air. But in other places, they are getting this pollution from elsewhere. It's coming from another country. It's coming from another place, and it's engulfing them. And that's causing huge problems in terms of health, and that season is completely predictable. The second one is the trash season, and the trash season has to do with litter that's being washed down rivers by heavy rainfall during the rainy season in very many countries, but mostly also Southeast Asia, ending up in the ocean and then washing up on beaches and causing huge problems. Now, we know that there are issues with microplastics. We know there are issues with plastics in general in terms of health. This is more than that. This is clogging up beaches, threatening tourism, threatening people's health. You can't use those beaches. And of course, it's massively expensive to clean it up. And it's coming from somewhere else. And unfortunately, that is happening worldwide. We're seeing more and more trash being produced. We know we like to recycle, and some of us are definitely doing that. But in many, many countries, plastic is seen as this very easy and convenient material that is used in everyday life. And that's not ending up in recycling. It's ending up in landfills, which are being washed away, ending up in rivers, ending up in the sea, ending up in the fish, ending up in our food.
Is that how it gets to the sea? I always wondered, how is it that a plastic packet gets to the sea?
No, everything. If you live in this, you don't live in a city or a suburb that has runoff that goes straight to the sea. But in Cape Town, if someone throws down a cigarette butt or a plastic bag, and also to some extent inland, but let's just take the coastal cities as a case. If someone throws down a plastic bag or a cigarette butt, something like that, it's going to go down the drain. As soon as it rains, that's going to go down the drain. And from the drain, it goes into the stormwater, and then it ends up in the sea. Stormwater drain straight to the sea, because it's not supposed to have chemicals and dirt in it. Sewage is a completely different story. And unfortunately, trash is getting into the sewage, which is making it more difficult to treat. But even inland, the stuff is ending up in the rivers, and that's easier to control. You can put a trap across a river, as we do sometimes in Cape Town, and you catch all the plastic, and then you can remove it. So that's not that difficult. But it just doesn't disappear. Litter doesn't disappear, and plastic doesn't break up. It breaks down. It doesn't break down. It breaks up. So it continues and hangs around in the ecosystem, and just doesn't go away. It just gets smaller, smaller pieces. Some of which are ending up in our food and in our bloodstream and even in our brains.
That is crazy. I mean, are we killing ourselves? Is that why? I mean, right now,
the only way we're killing ourselves. It's insidious. So people don't understand that. But if you look at the death rate, you look at the kind of diseases and sicknesses people are succumbing to. These are cancers. They're Alzheimer's. They are brain diseases, very many of them that affect the brain. And we've got to ask ourselves, what kind of chemicals and what kind of rubbish are we putting in our bodies? And yes, we are killing ourselves. Some of us choose to do it in a pleasant way, through maybe a couple of drinks too many every night or every now and then. Others do it without realizing it. And they're drinking water that's not purified. They're drinking or eating food that has got polluted. Or breathing in air that's polluted. I mean, it's not your fault you're breathing in air. So no, you're not killing yourself. You could blame it on anybody.
Well, at some point, you don't have those controls. Yeah, I mean, there is a collective accountability, and we need to pressure governments. We need to pressure municipalities. Yesterday, I interviewed one of the doctors from Stellenbosch University, and she's a microbiologist, and we were talking about the sea in Cape Town. I don't know if you saw that viral video of that woman who was, floating and frolicking in the bubbles in the sea in Cape Town. It shouldn't have brown bubbles. And the guy who picked her up said, that's E. coli on your face. It was raw sewage.
Yeah, it could. It certainly be. I mean, and that's what we've got used to that because, the E. coli is not flowing directly from the toilets. It does go through, it gets semi-treated. But in some places, they've just said, we're in Sea Point, we're in Green Point, would you like us to build a sewage plant? And you just can't do that. You can't have a sewage plant in the middle of a city, especially with the mountains and the coastline like that. So they do this sort of second best alternative. And they say, well, we're going to treat it to some extent, and then they used to work on the thing, dilution is the solution to pollution. But it really isn't. You know, pollution ends up in the sea and doesn't just disappear. Yeah, and so yes, it does get washed up on the coastline and does put people at risk. And people, I think we accept that because we're prepared to take the risks. And we don't know if anyone has died from that. We don't know if anyone has suffered tremendously from that. But it is certainly a long-term and insidious impact on our health. And I'm convinced that many of the diseases and sicknesses we have now are as a result of the chemicals that we're ingesting.
Right. And these cancers, blood cancers and bowel cancers and all these different cancers amongst young people, we need to definitely start getting those answers. Weatherman Pete, this has been a really unexpected pleasure speaking to you. Thank you.
Good. Well,
thank you so much.
And I hope you have a good day.
Thank you, and thank you for the time. That's Dr. Pete Johnston, who's a climate scientist at UCT.